Hello guys, welcome to another Chop Dude podcast, more than your normal martial arts gym. I just want to cover a little bit of a coaching rant that I had in a class that I've just done. Basically, it was in a self-defense class, and one of the kids was kind of struggling to do 10 press-ups. Now, this is part and parcel of the warm that we do, and we have a very kind of generic warm up for a lot of the arts that we do. So like press ups is a key kind of fundamental athletic ability, athletic measurement tool that we use during the warm up to see how people are progressing, how do they deal with it, with the task. Is it easy? Is it hard? Do they need to work on the strength and all these other things? Well, one of the kids just kept on giving up, and so I kind of drew him into question, and said, "What's the matter?" He says, "Oh, I can't do 10 press ups." He says, "Well, okay, here's a progression," and so we gave a series of progressions from all the kind of strength and conditioning protocol that we do, not to put people on the knees, but to do like incline press ups, either doing press ups on a raised block to reduce the angle, which reduces the weight through the shoulders. I mean, you could even do it up against the wall, up at kind of a maybe like a 70, 80 degree angle for the minimal amount of force going through your arms, just to go through that pushing exercise. I started doing this, and the students' core was like failing, and they were struggling. So, so we kept on reducing the angle, reducing the intensity of the exercise, and saying, "Look, there has to be a kind of key point where you can get through 10 press ups." Okay. Now, I'm not here to just blow sunshine up people's asses or anything like that. I'm here to give a realistic, honest perspective of the tools and strengths that you need in order to do the task that we're doing. So, because we're dealing with the self-defense issue, we started talking about, yes, the techniques work, but it gets to a certain point where strength and athleticism start having an impact on whether you're able to do the attacks. Now, for those of you that haven't been through our self-defense system, we go through several levels of kind of communication models and recognizing range and distance and body language, de-escalation techniques, kind of verbal sparring, and getting involved with the kind of non-physical perspective first. Then there's a line which is crossed when it goes from non-physical to physical, going through the physical skills, and then a kind of plan B, what if scenario, what if these techniques don't work, if they've got size, strength, athleticism over us, how to kind of go through these defenses. And then after that, there's all the kind of post-event management type stuff. So I was saying about this, and there was it wasn't the actual fact that the student was struggling to do 10 press-ups. It was more to do with the attitude. Now, having a failure attitude means that it's very easy to give up. It's easy to be a victim. Now, in the self-defense class, I'm not looking for victims. I want people to have a certain level of aggression and determination, that they're not going to be a victim, that they are going to stand up for themselves, and nurturing the confidence that it takes to take assertive action before things start escalating to a level where it becomes more difficult, more severe, more serious. So even having the communication skills to de-escalate, that's part and parcel of it, but then having that inner belief and that inner confidence to address these things. So we started talking about it, and so it says, I'm not here to kind of coach people for now for next week. We talk about kind of school issues and things like that, but I'm trying to teach a lifestyle skill. I'm not talking about sort of in the next week, next month, maybe even not next year. I'm talking about when these kids are kind of going out around town and going out to nightclubs and going out to pubs, and they've got enough confidence and savviness where they're willing to stand up and look after themselves and speak out when things aren't quite right. So, it came back to the question, are you going to be a victim or are you going to be a hero? Are you going to stand up to someone that's trying to assert their aggression on you? Or are you just going to roll over, be a victim, give in, and then go through all the post-event management stuff that we've talked about previously, like reporting it to the police and things like that? So you don't want to be just another number. You want to be able to look after yourself. And there's key parts about the law and knowing what you can and can't do around the law, which says that you're what you can and can't do. Okay, so if someone tells you that you have to wait for someone to attack you, then that's wrong. You need to look for a proper instructor that knows the logistics and the organisation around what happens at an aggressive event, whether it's an assault or whether it's a mugging or whatever. Okay. A lot of, just on a side note, a lot of martial art coaches just kind of focus on their own particular martial art because that's where they feel comfortable, and they'll just talk about the physical skills. When I worked in engineering, they called it, in the health and safety side of things, they called it a cascade of events. It's like when you're playing a fruit machine, you're waiting for all the kind of cherries to line up for it to get to a catastrophic event. So this can be kind of 3, 4, 5 levels of seriousness before we've got to that point. And the key thing is knowing these kind of key points. So, yeah, we got into conversation. I says, look, I'm not here to teach you about how to look after yourself in the short term. Yeah, some of these skills will look after you in the short term. I'm looking to coach you and educate you so that you're not a 14-year-old girl worrying about what your mates are gonna do or what they're saying in school. I'm talking about sort of 10 years down the line when you're a 24-year-old woman and you have to look after yourself in a nightclub when you're having to stand up for yourself, and maybe someone starts sweet talking you in a pub. You go outside the pub and then all of a sudden things the situation starts turning around. The guy starts getting aggressive with you. Can you look after yourself? And this is what we're talking about. So this is what we're talking about being a life skill. Now, I started to get rather animated, shall we say. It says, look, there has to be something inside that has to be triggered first. You have to have the belief, you have to have the confidence. So we went through and we did some simple skills, just a basic box jump. Basic athleticism is important. If there's one thing that's going to give you the biggest bang for your buck in the short term, is just be more athletic. You can spend some time going to the gym, and working out, doing some resistance training, getting used to squatting and deadlifting and bench pressing. And before all the girls start saying, I don't want to get bulky and this, that and the other, I've heard all these excuses before. You have to bang on a serious amount of weight to be squatting and deadlifting and bench pressing to get bulky, okay? People like bodybuilders struggle to put size on, okay? This is why it becomes an art form in itself, and this is why they need to, some of them, like, supplement the diet with kind of growth hormone and testosterone and steroids and this, that and the other to make themselves bigger. If you look at any natural athlete, then yeah, they may look cut, and the male looking in good shape. But they're not bulky. They always look in good shape, because this is the natural performance of your body and how your body should be reacting. So we were saying the biggest bang for your buck is probably going to be going to the gym and getting fitter, getting stronger, and doing a strength and conditioning program. Over and above that, then you have to have the training and the practice to coordinate yourself in order to do the techniques that we've been talking about, whether it's kind of breaking grips or having an athletic stance or being able to push someone with more force to put someone off, to manage your distance better and all these other things. So yeah, I went on a little bit of a rant and it was the thing is, it was brutally honest, and sometimes that brutally honest perspective is rare. The thing is that people don't want to tell you that some of these techniques won't work. They're not going to tell you that what to do if a technique doesn't work. Okay, in a self-defense situation, it might take one or two, three, four attempts of trying different things to get out of an attack. So what we're talking about is having firstly the strength and athleticism. Secondly, we're talking about the repetition and doing this on a weekly, bi-weekly basis. So we could be going to the gym 2-3 times a week. You could be doing the training 2-3 times a week, and this would set you up with enough of a knowledge bank in how to deal with the situation, but also the strength and athleticism to be assertive and be strong enough to push someone away or use the techniques that we do in class in a more kind of explosive fashion. This is this is what I said was kind of interesting. Now, we then went on to move into some like general athleticism tests. We just went into doing some basic box jumps, and we was going through sort of a 30 centimeter box jump, 45 centimeter box jump, 60 centimeter box jump, and then went up in 15 centimeter increments there and above. Now, the students were going up, and they kind of felt comfortable at 45. They struggled at 60. As soon as I put another 15 centimeter block on top of the 60, this is when they started having second guesses. This is when they started challenging themselves and going, saying, recognizing that inner dialogue. That inner dialogue is important, because the truths that you tell yourself are pivotal. The thing is, if you tell yourself that you can't do it, you can't do it. If you tell yourself that you can do it, then you'll be utterly and totally determined to achieve it. And then the thing is we only learn through failure. So it's how much weight you put behind that failure. If you step up to, like I said, this 75 centimeter box jump, and you start getting into that mindset of analysis and stuff like that. You maybe heard of the phrase paralysis by analysis, analysis by paralysis. It's when you start overthinking things, and then because we're kind of activating that prefrontal cortex and we start being a bit more tense, a little bit more nervous, our body doesn't react in the same way, and therefore we're essentially setting ourselves up to fail. If you're determined and you kind of really go for it 100% every single time, you'll never be let down. It's only when you get into that analysis of, can I do this task or not, where you then start recognizing where your limits are. And it's only when you're working at your cutting edge, at your thin edge, this is where development happens. So sometimes that development is an uncomfortable place to be, because yes, you will meet failure, I'm not saying that you won't. You will meet failure, because that's your learning edge. That's where you need to recognize how much does your body need to adapt to drive into the floor to push yourself high enough. Now, this is just a simple task of a box jump. Now, recognizing that internal dialogue of everything that goes on when you're posed with the task of doing such a simple box jump, when you bring in the flexibility and the unknown factor of someone stepping up to you and being aggressive, no wonder people are going to paralyze themselves and turn into victims, because they're overthinking things. If you've got confidence behind the system, behind the strategy, then you know how to deal with the situation, even if it's just managing the range, managing the distance, and keeping someone at bay, not allowing someone to step into your own personal space. That can be first and foremost. So therefore, your outside kind of punching range, if people are going to kick, then you've already kind of, you're aware of that, and you're already in an athletic stance, ready to move, ready to react, and you're looking and scoping out your exit strategy. All these things are important as part and parcel of the self-defense work that we do. But like I say, coming back and recognizing that inner dialogue when it comes to a challenging situation, if you can change that inner dialogue and start looking to how you can nurture more confidence and be more confident behind the academic knowledge that we give during the self-defense class, this is what's going to make you a more assertive and more confident person. Now, and like I said, this was just something that happened in one of the self-defense class, but like I say, it kind of carries over into some of the other, some of the boxing classes. Some of the guys that have been boxing with us, they look absolutely fantastic on the bag. They look fantastic on the pads. They can be slipping shots left, right, and center. But as soon as it crosses that barrier of going from pad work into sparring, that kind of inner empathy kicks in, and they don't want to hit the other person. Well, that's like stepping into a lion's cage and expecting the lion not to eat you because you're not attacking him, okay? Lions will do what lions will do. Animals will do what animals are going to do, okay? So if someone's stepping up to you and being confrontational, that's the contract. That's what they're saying to you. And this is what you need to kind of react upon and deal with, okay? So I hope this gives a little bit of an insight to certainly some of the stuff that we do in the self-defense class, and the mindset that it takes, and recognizing that kind of inner dialogue, little challenges that you can do yourself just to learn to recognize that your own inner dialogue, and then how to start combating that. Or if you want any more information, yeah, please hit me up, send me a message. And we can certainly help you out. Hope you enjoyed this little rant. But it was something that was kind of came across very passionately, and I hope that everything went smoothly afterwards, and that the student hasn't taken too much offence to my assertive dialogue. Like I say, I'm not going to sugarcoat things, but I'm certainly going to tell the truth and help you every step of the way. So stay safe, guys. Stay safe. Peace out. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.